Unity, where we will be beginning this morning. It says underneath the prayer of Moses, the man of God. Most of the Psalms written by David or Asaph, but this one was written by Moses. And we want to look just at a few verses in Psalm 90. We'll begin reading at verse 9 and read down to verse 12. So Psalm 90, beginning at verse 9. It says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your word, for the fellowship that we can have around it as believers. We just pray you would use your word to instruct us, to challenge us, that we might live lives that are pleasing to you in this present time. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, of all the resources that we have at our disposal, I think the most valuable, most precious of all the resources we have is time. We recognize with time we only have a limited amount of it. We only have 24 hours a day. We can't fit in another hour. It's just not possible. And it just continues to spin along. As it says here that in terms of our life, 80 years, by reason of strength, maybe 80. With advances in medicine today, we have some that possibly could live more, but it is also quite possible a person can live less. And we read that first thing this morning in Psalm 103, of "As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth, for the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more." That if we examine a person's length of their life in terms of recorded history, we find that it's just a very small time. And if we compare a person's life to the length of eternity, we realize how much it is, as it says, a vapor, something that does not last very long. So time is something that is a non-renewable resource. That's something that they're always trying to find nowadays, things that they can use and reuse and find new sources of it, but we can't renew time. Once it's gone, we can't get it back. There's not an untapped reserve of it somewhere that we could mine. And once it passes, it is gone for good. We can't slow the clock down. We can't rewind it. And essentially in our lives, we get one shot. And after that, eternity awaits. And we recognize that as humans, each of us will be judged by how we spent our life as it had been given unto us. That we are essentially stewards of the time that we have, stewards of the life that we've been given. And we recognize for the lost man that he passes from this life into eternal torment. But of course, by then it is too late to change course. Their destination is determined, and eternity is spent with full of regret, just thoughts of, if only I had listened, if only I had made a decision when I heard the gospel, why did I put it off? Why did I make fun of it? Why didn't I examine it? Why didn't I put away my pride and accept it? That's probably one of the saddest things of the opportunities they would have recognized that they had that they didn't take. And I recognize that as a point on a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. And for each of us as believers, we recognize our decision to trust Christ as Savior has determined our destiny. We have a home with the Lord forever in heaven, and nothing can take that away. And when we enter into heaven, we will certainly rejoice in the grace of God. But we do recognize as believers that each of us must stand before the judgment seat of Christ, give account of the things done in our body, according to what we have done, whether they be good or bad. And so there will be a reward for us awaiting in heaven, or lack thereof. And it will be based upon how we spent our life here on earth. Whether we spend it for ourselves or for Christ, that we must give an account. And it's not something that we can have a do-over. It's not something that we have second chances. In some ways, it would be nice if reincarnation was true, because then you'd kind of keep having chances till you got it right. But that's not the way it works. It's appointed a man once to die, and after this judgment. And so when we step from this life into the next, we step into eternity, we want the Lord to say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And we recognize if He doesn't say that, we don't have anyone to blame but ourselves for that. So we see in this passage, this prayer of Moses, the man of God, he recognizes how short, how brief our lives are. And so he makes this request of God. And he says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." That we recognize if he asks this of God, if he says, "Teach us to number our days," that this is not something that comes naturally to us. That if we need God to instruct us in it, then it isn't something we're going to get on our own. That we need Him to show us. We need Him to open up our understanding so that we would number our days. And we recognize that as God works with us, as He teaches us to number our days, that He gives us a change in perspective. It changes our priorities, it narrows our purposes, and it pushes us to act in different ways. And that's what we would desire, is that we would have God's perspective on life, not just simply be conformed to the thinking of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, and we want to learn of Him. And so this thought of numbering our days, if you consider, for instance, someone who would be diagnosed with a terminal illness, that they're told they only have a few months to live. What happens to that person? Their priorities change drastically. They recognize that they only have a very limited time, so that there's a lot of things that they maybe thought about doing that they say, "Well, that's not important. That doesn't matter." There's other things that will become top priorities to them, things that they'll see that are really of value that they want to do, time they want to spend with their spouse, with their children, want to make things right with other people before they go. Make sure as much as possible that all the details of life are taken care of before they pass from this life. We have this phrase now in our vernacular that's called the bucket list. Things that we want to do in life before we kick the bucket. And it's kind of a thought, experiences that we want to have. But it's rather ironic in many ways as humans that so often we really only start living when we find out and that we're confronted with the fact that we're dying. That's when we really start to make decisions, we start to change, we start to want to do different things and change our priorities. But we want to recognize as humans that we are finite creatures, we are mortals, and we are all dying. Our bodies are wearing out. They can only be sustained so long. And we can think that we have a lot of time. I know especially when you're young, you think you're immortal, that you'll live forever and that you can do any kind of crazy thing and nothing will ever happen to you. But we realize that we don't have an abundance of time. We have a limited amount of time. It might even be shorter than we expect. Sometimes our life can be cut short prematurely. And we recognize as well that Christ is coming again, that He might come a lot sooner than we would expect. We see in Matthew chapter 24, the Lord speaks of this. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 44, He says, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunk, and the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so we recognize we want to be the first servant, the faithful and wise servant, when the Lord comes, that he finds doing, that he is pleased with us, he is honored with us, that we don't want to be in a place in our Christian life where we're not serving him, and then he come and we're not ready for him, and we are dismayed at his coming rather than rejoicing at it. And so we recognize as humans, specifically as believers, that we are not to be killing the time, we are to be redeeming the time, because the days are evil, as it says in Ephesians, that we are, the idea of redeeming time is that we're taking it back from all the things which are irrelevant in the light of eternity, and have our lives refocused on what counts for eternity. And I think if we knew how short our life would be, it would make it easier for us to prioritize. It's just the same idea. Sometimes there's some people that they kind of they work better under pressure. You give them a deadline, and I knew one guy that he was a master procrastinator, but then he'd be up all night the night before, and he'd get it all done, but he'd need the pressure to be able to do it. But I think if we had a sense of how long our life is, then we'd be able to plan things out. We'd be able to say, okay, well, this is what I have time for. This is not going to be that important. And so it'd be easier to do that, but we don't have that knowledge. It's not given to us. But we do recognize our lives are short, and so we need to fill up our lives with what is truly important and empty it of what is vain and temporal. As it speaks in Mark, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, that those things we want, those are weeds in our life that keep us from being fruitful, and those we want to remove, and we want to have what's important. And that is the thought, that all of us are dying, but we want to ask, well, we don't want to just be kind of killing time until we die. We want to be living when we're alive right now, that we want to live our lives to the fullest, that even though we are dying, that we would start living as people, as believers. As Rudyard Kipling spoke in his poem, If, he said that we can give every unforgiving minute 60 seconds worth of distance run, that we use the time we have wisely, that he would be pleased with us, that we would make a life that counts for him. And so we need God to teach us to number our days. And so it's the thought that we don't understand that. It's something we don't have a grasp of. We don't have that perspective that he does. He knows exactly how long our lives are going to be, that he's not bound by time. He sees our life basically from the end to the beginning as one thing. And he knows when it'll be, but we don't. And so we recognize he needs to teach us, and so we need to become his willing students. We need to allow him to give us his perspective, give us his priorities, allow him to fulfill in us what he has put on us earth to do, that we recognize in that sense that he has a mission for us, he has something that he has created us for specifically, and we're to draw close to him so that we can know what his will is and so that we can fulfill whatever that ministry is. And we recognize as well that our lives are to have different priorities because we are Christians. It says, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And so we see that we want to have that life, that we live not unto ourselves anymore, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And so we see that. We want the Lord to teach us to number our days, to be instructed through his word of what is priority. And Moses said in Psalm 90, he said, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And so we see that in Proverbs chapter 4, speaking of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4. Solomon writes, says to his son, he says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, my son, receive my sayings. The years of my life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. And so we recognize we must apply our hearts unto wisdom. That the wisdom that we need comes from God alone. That we read in other places in Proverbs that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That to have a relationship with Him, that we are dependent upon Him. He is the source of all wisdom. There is no wisdom or counsel or understanding against the Lord. And it says in James chapter 1, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. That we recognize that God has this wisdom. He wants to share with us. He doesn't want us to spend a life that is vain and empty. He wants us to have a life that's purposeful. That we pursue after wisdom, and when we find it, that it blesses us in so many different ways. It's kind of the thought, it says in Proverbs 16, verse 16, how much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather be chosen than silver. And it's one thing to get a lot of wealth, but it's better to have wisdom so you know how to spend it. Otherwise, whatever you get, you'll probably lose pretty quickly. And so it's that thought that we would seek after wisdom, that it would be our focus, that we want to know God's ways, God's thoughts, God's desires. We would want to submit ourselves to Him. And we recognize there is this wisdom of this world, that the Bible says it is foolishness with God. So many things that we can be told are priorities, but yet when in the light of eternity, when we really look at it, we realize, no, this is not as important as it might seem to be, that there's other things that are of far more importance. And we see with the wisdom of God, it says, James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That we seek that wisdom that's above, that we know that it, and that's, sometimes we can seek wisdom on this earth and get different instruction, and especially when you're dealing with humans so often, that you can get instruction, and the instructions can be conflicting each other, and you don't know which one to follow. But when you seek the wisdom of God, it comes through studying His Word, through seeking His direction, His will, that you can know that it's certain. So as we look into the Word of God, we see things as they really are, and we see what is really important. So that is the thought, that the Lord would teach us to number our days, that we would apply our hearts unto wisdom. And that is that thought of applying our hearts, not just getting the head knowledge, just not getting the idea, well, this is what I should do, but doing it. that we make personal application, that so often we can kind of get a sense and we'll sort of put it on our list, our to-do list or our bucket list. Well, this is something I need to deal with eventually, especially in our walk with the Lord, our relationship with Him. Well, this is something I need to get victory in eventually. I need to start doing it at some point. But we want to recognize that we don't know how much time that we have, and so it's the time to start it is now. That we realize how short our time is, we realize how crucial it is that we live a life that's pleasing to Him, that as we apply our hearts to wisdom, it causes us to change our course, it causes us to change our conduct, and it causes us to change our system of values to match with what the Scripture says. That we are made new, that we are becoming a different person. It speaks in James chapter 1. In verse 21 it says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." And so that is what we want to desire to do, that is, we apply our heart to wisdom, the wisdom of God, the wisdom found in His Word, that we put it into practice, that we make it real in our lives. There are things that we stop, there are things that we start, there are the things that we attempt to do. And we want to think of that, that if we don't know when our last day will be upon this earth, but we should ask ourselves, well, if this was my last day, how would I spend it in light of eternity? How would I act in this way? And it's the thought that if we could live every day to its fullest, live every day if it was our last, I think our lives would be so much fuller and more enjoyable than what we have experienced before. We recognize we can't change the past, and we can't rely upon the future. We don't know how long we have, but what we do have is the present. And so we want to make the most of it. And we recognize that as it is, that we are dying, that we soon will pass from this life, but we want to be living while we're on this earth. That Jesus said in John chapter 10, He said that the thief is come but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, they might have it more abundantly. And that is what we desire to have, an abundant life, where we're living to the fullest. We're accomplishing what God would have us to do, that we're not limited in saying, well, I'll get to that someday, but that we allow today to be the day, that we attempt these things for God, that we step out in faith, not knowing what will happen, but at least giving it an attempt and seeing what God might do. That we recognize, as one has said, it's only one life and it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. May the Lord help us that we would learn to number our days and apply our hearts to wisdom so that He could use us and bless us in our lives as He desires to do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You again for Your love for us and Your compassion for us, Lord, that You know our frame, You remember that we are dust. Lord, that You are very sensitive to our frailty, to the shortness of our lives. And You want so much, Lord, to give us of Your fullness, give us a life that is full of blessing and joy and love and labor for You. We just pray, Lord, that You would help us to step forward, to not put things off, but to seek to live for You as we should, to not wait until it is too late to start to to live for you and to do what we ought to do, Lord. Just pray that we would live our Christian life to the fullest, you would use us, Lord, to make a difference in the time that we have left. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Alright, so let's stand. We'll turn to one more hymn, number 376, and sing Take Time to Be Holy, number 376.